I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Where you're thinking at the end of the year, oh my gosh, we have something. But I also don't think he's going to be so bad that they're going to win two games for the entire season.
I got a real good text here I'm going to get to in a second. It's 10:01 is the time. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1. KGMZ San Francisco, it is a radio.com station. John Dickinson over there. I am Jim Cozumore, JD, down at Niners practice. All week, he's talking to people, actually hands-on, and gets to see people and what they do. So we'll dip into his knowledge. We'll get more of your calls, so don't go anywhere. But this text came in. The worst thing the 49ers could do is go into the draft focusing on defense. When this is now officially an offensive league where you have to outscore your opponent, they need better skill players. I absolutely agree with you. I absolutely agree that the game has been ruled, okay? The game has been adjudicated to make it better for the offense. All you have to do is go and look at Clay Matthews' highlight reels from this season alone, because if you somehow hug a quarterback, you get 15 yards.
Yes.
Right? If you do anything, if you maybe say his name on the field, you get a flag thrown at you. The game is different. Why not go out and just focus on offensive guys? Don't worry if I can tackle. It's the Arena League, baby.
Well, the 49ers are not going to have the luxury now of thinking Jimmy Garoppolo can hold up the rest of the offense. They're going to have to go. And that's one area where, to me, the injury hurts the 49ers, is because now they're going to have to go improve at least the wide receiver position. They're going to have to go do that now. They're going to have to go add somebody that's not on that roster, because they're not going to get the benefit of the doubt of 2019 being the free year that 2018 was supposed to be.
Yep. Phones we go. 888-957-9570. They're lining up. Mitch, Jersey Mitch, is going to join us here on 95.7 The Game. Bay Area quarterbacks, what do you see, Mitch? What do they got left? Do they have any hope? Where are the Bay Area quarterbacks at?
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Matt, maybe, John, how you doing? Matt, maybe you can give me a good luck there with the lottery, because it seemed to work last week for your Buffalo. Was it Buffalo you were saying, the Bills, last week?
Buffalo, what did you...
I'm trying to be facetious, but...
Anyway, go on.
Sorry.
Go on,
I'm
Mitch.
Just trying to be facetious.
But that was funny.
Get to the point here. both teams, they can't tank. The 49ers are drafting linemen like the Sixers were drafting centers.
You're right.
They finally hit. They both need a defense lineman and a running back, and maybe the 49ers need wide receivers. So that's what you got to look for. You got the quarterbacks. If Gruden trades Derek Carr, maybe we should trade himself, too, or give some money back. That's ridiculous. Jimmy G is a good quarterback for the future, and CJ, he's a tough guy. Lunch pail, that expression. So I think CJ will be okay. He's a good quarterback as a backup.
I agree with you, and I think the Niners, and thanks, Mitch, for the call. We appreciate it. I think the Niners really like CJ Beathard. I think they spent a big pick, a number three, to get him. I think they liked him when he played last year, even though in my mind, JD, I've got him playing better in games that he wasn't in. But in my mind, he played well.
Right.
But that's what you do.
Exactly, because you spend so much time in the offseason replaying the past and the future in your head that you start mixing things that you thought you saw up with things that you didn't really see.
Nope, you're absolutely right. That line open, jump on it, 888-957-9570. Rob in San Bruno. Rob, how good were the Niners even if they had Jimmy Garoppolo?
What's going on, fellas? We got to keep it real, man. I look like y'all stations just rise to Jimmy Garoppolo, but let's keep it honest. The first three games he played, he wasn't the best quarterback on the field. He wasn't all. He looked okay. He looked all right. He looked like a serviceable quarterback.
I agree. He was outplayed by Cousins. Cousins outplayed him in week one.
He's outplayed in all three games.
I'm not harping on Jimmy G. They gave him the money to say he is what it is. I'm talking about Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. You got to go out there and get talent. You can't. Even Jerry McKendry, he's not a guy that's been a starter. He's been a backup his whole career. Breeder's going to have more rushing yards, two more games than he had in his entire 1 year. He has never had more than 600 yards rushing. So you don't give a guy like that money. You draft a guy like that in the free agent. Come on. But you draft the Joe Williams. So I just feel like the Niners, they need to get somebody in the front office that can help these guys. I don't think they know what they're doing. There's no talent. When you had two top 10 picks the last 2 years, all this money to spend, and you don't have – I don't see no game changers. I don't see no Camores. I don't see no Bosa's. We're supposed to have at least one of those guys. I like Butler. I like Armstead. I like Tart. But where the pieces that we've been needing a corner for the last 3 years. Neither one last year, we didn't get it. We needed a pass rush, we didn't get it. So even with Jimmy, we was a 6-8 win team at best. So I think Kyle Shanahan and Lynch, they need to get it together. They need to be like, look, you're not going to win the Patriots way. Go get some talent. To me, they're like they're too good for certain players. That's not the case. We suck. We're not good.
That's interesting. I hear you. Rob, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. You know what? If this stays down this direction, there is going to come a time when people are going to say, all right, Jed, it didn't work with Harbaugh. Then you brought in Tom Sula because he's a leader of men and everybody loves him. They're going to run through a wall for him. That didn't happen. Then you're going to go get a guy. And I like the Chip Kelly signing. And I thought if Chip Kelly stayed longer, I like him. I think he does well. I know he's stinking it up with UCLA. I know Bruin fan is yelling at the radio right now because they look bad at another loss last night. But that didn't work, and he was a genius innovator, and he had all these theories, and he has these studies. And well, now they bring in two new guys who are pretty smart. John Lynch, smart guy. And then Shanahan's an offensive genius. But who's the guy they have to go to who's the football smarts guy? And I know that they have football smarts. But you know what I mean, John? You could be a great player and a smart broadcaster player and a great play caller, but until you're the guy in the chair, or have someone to lean on. And I'm going to use Steve Kerr as an example. He gets his first head coaching job. What does he do? Hires Alvin Gentry as his number one lieutenant because Alvin Gentry has been a head coach in other places, and he knows every once in a while he's going to have to lean on a guy who's been a head coach to do that. He does it again when he brings in another guy who's been a head coach, right? He has guys who have been head coaches because he knows you want to have that kind of smarts with him. Who's the guy in the 49ers who does that for John Lynch? And for Kyle Shanahan. Is it Mike Shanahan who sits at home, watches games, and sends notes?
I mean, they've got people in their front office. I mean, they've got an Adam Peters and a Martin Mayhew and, guys like that. I mean, they have guys in their front office that have varying levels of experience with other organizations. Look, as far as the overall talent, the thing that I keep coming back to is the 49ers were trying to get through this year to see how much Jimmy Garoppolo could mask. It's as simple as that. And I think you touched on something earlier that's right on the money. This has a potential at the end of the year, come January 2nd, let's say, when we're all evaluating the season or evaluating our life, as we do each new year.
Yes, we do.
But you evaluate the season and you think, well, what do we have?
I could have done this better.
There's potential. There's potential.
I had potential. You're right. I do think of that as the start of a new year. I had potential.
There's potential. There's potential, but there's also a lot you need. And I think what the 49ers, what it looked like they needed coming into this year, it's going to look like they need a whole heck of a lot more next year.
How about this from the 415? He's not even two seasons in, but we all can agree that Solomon Thomas was a terrible pick at number 3 overall last year. Can I tell you this? Here's
it's
my
too
view.
Strong.
I felt the same way until about 2 weeks ago when that article about his sister came out. And I will tell you, the horrible personal tragedy he had to suffer through off the field, I do think it plays on the field. And I'm sorry, maybe I'm a softy, but I'm somehow giving him a pass since I've read the article. And if you don't know the story, his sister committed suicide and she had a tough upbringing, and that was his number one. That was the most important person in his life, aside from our parents. But he was really close to his sister, and she had some issues, and it's very unfortunate. And am I too much of a softy? I mean, it happened in early 2018, right? Just after the season. So I think the guy's still wearing some things emotionally. I don't want to say mentally, because I think that puts a lock on somebody. I think emotionally there are some issues there, and I think it's a difficult situation. So I can't say bust. I can't.
I don't think you can say bust this season.
Anyway, right?
I don't think you can say bust with him this season. You could say bust with him or start to have that conversation maybe next year.
A year from now.
But I don't think you can say that about him now. Now, is he somebody that you look at and you go, wow, he pops. He shows up when you're watching the game.
He's a beast. He's a monster. He's a guy that's a centerpiece of your defense. No, he doesn't.
You know what I say? I look at him and I say, another Stanford. Because that's what you get. You get a guy who plays real well at Stanford, right? Jonathan Martin. You get a guy who's really good, high draft pick, and he gets to the league. Just doesn't have it. You know? Just it's a different environment. And let's not kid ourselves. The environment at Stanford, as winning as it is, it's the number 7 in the country right now. 7 and 8. They and Notre Dame are kind of flipping and flopping, 7 and 8. Great environment, but different than the NFL. And guys at Stanford, is there a power guy at Stanford who has gone on to be super mega? Because Lynch was a Stanford guy, and he was pretty darn good.
Yeah, they've had some offensive linemen that have.
Andrew Luck, but Andrew Luck has underperformed. A lot of that is physical. Anyway, that's
not
how
McCaffrey.
I...
McCaffrey's been pretty good.
Yes.
But he's not a bruiser.
No, he's not a bruiser. No. Who was the fullback who went out of the NFL, played for the Vikings for a while? Very good fullback. He was very good. Toby Gerhardt played.
Yeah.
He was good. Listen, we're going to get more phone calls when we continue. How the 49ers can beat the Chargers, Mike's got that rolling. We've got, did the Niners pay Jimmy G too soon? A little more 49er conversation. I want to get back into our Raiders stuff. We know we got the Warriors tonight. John's going to be there. John, you're going.
I'm there.
As soon as you leave here, you're just going right over to Rorico, the crowd?
No, I'm actually going to go home first.
Are you?
I like to restart the day a little bit. Maybe even go with a second shower.
Wow.
Yeah.
Solid work.
And just, it's like, you know, you get up, you get your shower, you get your breakfast, you get ready, you come in here, you do the show, you go home, and it's just, you do like a little mini reboot.
Nah, I showered yesterday and I conserve water, John. I'm waiting till Monday. Going all the way through till Monday. The only water I'll get between now and then will be a little holy water when I go walk into Mass at 4 o'clock today.
Pray for your soul.
Exactly. I'm going to need that.
Pray for us both.
Yes, I will. 12 past 10, JD and Coe's with you. We'll hear you on the phones. Don't go anywhere. We're jumping right back to the calls. 888-957-9570. Text us, and we've had some good ones. 95795. You're listening to 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Got a little Greek yogurt here. It's got stevia in it.
Ooh.
Does that give you cancer? Is that going to give me like testicular cancer or something?
I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
Let's hope not.
I don't roll with the stevia, but I do Greek yogurt everything.
It's good and good for you.
Now, and I substitute it. Like, yeah. I use it like sour cream.
I use it. So do I.
Don't even use Greek yogurt's my sour cream now.
I use it when I make my tuna sandwiches. I use Greek yogurt.
It's your mayonnaise.
Instead of mayonnaise.
Much
better.
I do the same thing now.
Yeah. It's so much better
for you. I'll put Greek yogurt on a sando.
Yep.
I'll toast the bread. I'll toast a little bread, and then you make your sandwich up, but instead of the mayo, slab a little Greek yogurt on it.
Totally agree. Now,
replaced mayonnaise and sour cream.
Totally agree. I totally go with straight Greek yogurt. My wife bought one, the Oikos, that has the NFL logo on it, and it's a vanilla flavor, but I don't like to get the flavor because there's, crap in there.
Yeah, right.
But I don't want to give it to my kids, so I'm eating it now.
You know what you can do?
What?
You do a little protein powder.
Oh, yeah,
You could do, like, let's say you have a protein powder you like.
Vanilla, I got it.
Like a vanilla protein powder?
Got it.
You do a little vanilla protein powder, and you mix it in with your yogurt.
This is unbelievable.
And then you got like a little pudding.
Because I did regular Greek yogurt, the vanilla that I've got. I did nuts, mixed nuts,
sure.
No salt.
Absolutely. Maybe a little fresh fruit even, if you want.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'll do that in my oatmeal, steel-cut oatmeal.
Absolutely.
In the morning, and I'll rock that Greek yogurt.
Absolutely.
This is JD and Co's with your fitness challenge, with your great eating habits.
But yeah, it's Greek yogurt. And even like if you want to cheat a little bit and do a dip. Let's say you want to make that onion dip that you shouldn't have.
Yeah, yeah.
Use
the Greek yogurt. You're so right. And you can take the dry Italian packet and put it in it.
Whatever you need.
That's your dip.
Whatever you need.
Whatever you need. Exactly. Now I see why people listen to this show, right? We can talk about the Niners all day long.
We spray it all fields.
We do spray it all fields. JD and Co's with you until 1 o'clock today. We're going to finish up on these phone calls on the Niners. They go to L.A. for the Chargers tomorrow. Mike in San Jose. Mike, how the heck do the 49ers beat the Chargers?
Oh, man, it's going to be real simple. First off, thanks for having me on the show.
Sure.
There's four things that we need to do that we have not done. One is turnovers. We've been horrible in the turnovers. We've only got two fumble recoveries. Second, we're going to have to clean up on penalties. We've been horrible on penalties. Three is special teams. San Diego or L.A. Chargers are horrible in special teams. We have one of the best field goal kickers, one of the best punters, and Mostert's been beast. He's been a tackling machine. And fourth is the defense. Our tackling has been horrible. We've been allowing these drives to continue and continue because of penalties and because of tackles. They've been horrible. And as far as Beathard, people forget we're within 3 points of winning five games last year. I think Hoyer was in for some of those. But this is Kyle Shanahan's system, and it's not about what quarterback is in there. And in week one against Vikings, as far as Jimmy Garoppolo and the price tag that he had, we had three drop touchdown passes. We had Kittle, Pettis.
Kittle one sticks in my mind, Mike. The Kittle one sticks in my mind as if he doesn't get to the house, he's inside the 10, and you're charging down the field.
Yeah, the only one that you could say is questionable. He was on an island without Revis Island. He was like Tom Hanks pretty much by himself.
Hilarious.
Not a ball.
You're right. And then the drop in the end zone by Garcon is the other one you're talking about, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the Dante Pettis that he had going right up the seam.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. Hey, it's not like Jimmy G has been totally, and thanks for the call, Mike, it's not like Jimmy G has been setting the world on fire. Fair enough to say? It's not like he's been... Montana's prime. We're in San Francisco. Montana in his prime.
No, but the one thing that he has done is he has shown an ability, regardless of how bad he's looked or how bad the team has looked, to just keep going and making plays and keep you in the game. And he did that last week. He did that in the opener. He played pretty well against the Lions. That was just a game where you get up and you have the game in control and then the defense falls apart.
Mm-hmm.
And then he threw the bad interception that wasn't, which would have been a game changer, but it wasn't. But so I think you have to like what you've seen from Garoppolo in the three games, but I also,
let me ask you this.
Don't think it's looked as you thought it would either.
Let me ask you this. Three games this year, the three-game slice that you got this year. Tell me how you feel this three-game slice versus his first three games as a starter last year.
I'll say this. Overall, and I'll just bottom line it. No long soliloquy on this one.
Okay.
Underwhelming compared to what I thought it would look like. Jimmy Garoppolo's three games.
Totally agree.
Underwhelming compared to what I thought the first three games would look like.
Totally agree. And I think part of that is I built it up so much. I do think bringing the team back against Kansas City in Kansas City was starting to be an impressive drive. As poorly as he played, he looks... Didn't Minnesota say this? He looks scared against the Minnesota Vikings defense. Didn't the Vikings say that? He looks scared.
I don't think he looked scared.
He looked like he was throwing off the back foot. He was fading away. He was double clutching on some balls. He looked like the game was too big for him in week number one, even though I can build the argument as a fanboy that they were in it.
Yeah, and he brought him back, though, had him in position. I mean, they were down eight with the ball, mm-hmm. and then he throws a pick. So he looked more gunslinger. Mm-hmm. Than I thought. He looked more, I'm going to make some mistakes, but I'm going to make some plays.
But I'm going to live, yeah, I'm going to live with it, because that's my style.
And I'm going to bring you back anyway. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to throw a pick six, and we're still going to be where I have a chance to tie the game late. That kind of surprised me. I think people thought it was going to look more seamless. I think people thought it was going to look more Tom Brady, Joe Montana-like, where just you're in control of the game 24-7, and you have the lead, and you're zipping the ball up and down the field, and every throw's on point and precise. And so I think a lot of 49ers fans had it in their mind that was how it was going to look, and that's not how it looked. Like Tony Romo is what it looked like.
Here's the point you made that I think is pretty darn good. Because the guy was the understudy to the greatest currently and went to the team with the greatest all time, he has the worst knock possible, and that is, oh, he played with Brady, so when he comes here, he's going to look like Brady. Oh, he's wearing that color uniform? Well, he's got to be a quarterback like number 16. Sorry, man. Those guys each came along once in their generations for a reason.
Right. And I think the hope,
on the high end is that he becomes
an unfair hope.
It's
an unfair hope, but that's because of his pedigree. He's going to get that and the 125.
But then he wins five games.
Yeah.
And I know there are many, but you win five.
Like, yep.
Who does that?
Yep.
Nobody in the NFL won five games in December last year.
No, they were pretty incredible. Los Altos Rich, you're next on 95.7 The Game. Jimmy G, did the Niners handle him the right way, Rich?
Hey, thanks for letting me on, guys. I'm
sure.
Watching the show. I don't want to be all negative and hating and bring down everybody's morning, so I don't want to go overboard with it. But what I've seen of the Niners the last couple of years, I'm a Raider fan, by the way. But what I've seen of the Niners last couple of years, I mean, the first time we saw Shanahan, I'll never understand how he blew that Super Bowl. All he had to do was run the ball, run the clock out, but he let Matt Ryan keep throwing it. They threw the game away. So next thing you do, Niners hire him. Next thing you know, we hire Lynch, and I know he's supposed to be smart. All I remember of Lynch, I like him. He's a cool guy. I remember him being really, like, the dirtiest player I ever saw. But anyway,
he played to the whistle, the echo of the whistle.
He's a genius or whatever. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, you're mentioning Lynch. I said he played to the echo of the whistle. I don't know if he was dirty. He just played to the back end of the whistle.
Dirty. Well, I'm almost 50, brother. He was dirty, believe me, in my opinion. Anyway, fast forward, now we're hearing, I keep hearing Shanahan's a genius. And it's not that Garoppolo, he's legit. I mean, he's no Patrick Mahomes, but, you know, he's legit, but to spend whoever decided there to spend all the money on the quarterback before getting any other players, which means basically they can't get players for the next however many years, it's just so preposterous. I mean, that's basic to me. So I hope they get somebody in there with an old football player, not whose dad was a football coach. Nothing against Shanahan. I don't want to attack these guys personally. But they need an old football, like a guy like, you know, Holmgren, somebody in there who really knows what they're doing, because I don't see total confidence, especially now that he's injured. I mean, now we're talking about Beathard, which, you know, I don't want to. Hopefully the kid does good, but, you know, come on, give me a break. So, anyway, that's what I got. And I hope I'm wrong about all this. I hope they win the next, you know, go undefeated.
I agree. Good for you. And I like that. Rich, thanks for the call, and I'm glad you want him to win, because I don't want fans to get into that whole tank mentality of, all right, well, let's tank the season so we can get a better draft pick next year. Thanks, Rich.
I'm borderline going angry show here, but I'm not going to.
Are you? What's going on?
Because Rich said something that has really been bugging me lately. It's this notion, and I think it's people trying to sound smart, and it's media people and it's fans, but it's this notion, and I think the Raiders brought this to the forefront as well because of the comments that John Gruden made regarding the Khalil Mack trade. Mm-hmm. But this notion that you can't pay your quarterback big money and still fill out your roster and be good. That's laughable. Yes, you can.
Didn't you tweet something about that
this
week? You tweeted something about that this week,
yes.
Right? Yeah, so that
it's driving me nuts.
If I go and pay my quarterback, like Derek Carr got his butt,
or
his bank.
Or Jimmy Garoppolo.
Or Jimmy Garoppolo, that you can't fill it out with everything else.
You can't have another big guy and then still have enough good players.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you can. It's called the draft.
Yeah.
It's called draft well. It's called develop.
Yeah, draft and develop, right? Because in the NFL, I don't know if you do win by going free agent. The free agent route to fill in all your needs isn't going to win. Well, we saw it this year, right? We saw the Niners go out, get a wide receiver, or have a guy in Goodwin who they think is going to be the guy, go out and spend some money on McKinnon. That unfortunately didn't work out. Tried to fill a hole with Sherman. Unfortunately, he got hurt.
It just boggles my mind, the people now that say, well, the Raiders were stupid to pay Derek Carr because, like, look, did you watch Derek Carr in 2016?
He was an MVP. MVP caliber.
And again, and he's not a terrible quarterback now. Like, I think we're...
But he's not as good as 2016.
We get so far skewed as to what we see now. Boy, oh, Derek Carr might not be the quarterback next year. The 49ers screwed up on Jimmy Garoppolo. There's no way the rest of that team's going to be good enough now because they paid him the money. Tap the brakes, people.
Give me a San Jose Phil real quick. Phil, 55-year 49ers season ticket holder. Phil in Kezar. Where'd you sit in Kezar? Where were your seats, my man?
We were about the 35-yard line in the bleachers.
Nice.
Four bleachers, yeah.
I like it.
I used to go down in the end zone with the Christopher Milk Club, I think is what it was called when I first started going, and watch stupid people throw batteries at Johnny Unitas coming out of the tunnel.
That's not good. That's not good when number 19 comes out and you're chucking batteries at him. When you got Unitas throwing up against the great John Brody, Phil, you saw the NFL when it was men being men. I like it, Phil.
Yeah, it was a fun
battery game. Chuckers.
I grew up with football. I mean, that's what we did. And but I went through. I was in the end zone. I was down in the corner of the end zone. And Clark caught the catch, and I have the program to prove it. I'm not one of the guys that says that they saw it. And I actually think I have an autograph on that thing. But anyway,
that's cool.
So here's my take on this thing. See, I was one of the people that absolutely screamed when they dunked Alex Smith and went with Kaepernick because I knew it was going to blow up in a year and a half. And I got yelled at by my brother. I got yelled at. My brother coached quarterbacks in college, so it's the stupidest thing. I got in arguments with my son, my father-in-law. They said, oh, Kaepernick's going to be the best thing. I told everybody it was going to blow up in 2 years because he was not an NFL quarterback. And a lot of people didn't believe me, and I've actually gotten kicked off at the NBR, the station that you guys don't compete with, because I said that. They said, oh, you're crazy.
Q102, yeah, I hear you.
But anyway, long story short, I think we're going to be fine with Beckford. I do not want to tank. I think it's stupid. I think they need 4 position players. They need a pass rushing specialist. And you guys saying that we don't need to build defense, I completely disagree with you. I agree that this is an offensive-driven and a quarterback-driven league, but the defenses will come back. This is just a cycle.
I hear you. I hear you on that, Phil, and thanks for the call because we got to jump ahead. We got a guest waiting for us. But we think the defense needs to improve. Is he yelling at us or yelling at other people?
He was yelling at you.
Well, don't yell at me. I'm trying to be nice.
But I agree with Phil, though. The defense, you can't just have a terrible defense and only focus on offense. Even if it's just being better at getting the one or two stops a game you need. Even if, like, the Vikings game against the Rams, right? Well, the Vikings game, both teams are scoring up and down. Well, you know right. What it comes down to? It comes down to which team can get, you know, the stop that prevents a touchdown and turns it into a field goal. Which team can get the turnover late like the Rams did by forcing a fumble when the Vikings are going down to tie the game? It's about those game-altering plays as opposed to just having a monsters in the midway from the mid-80s.
All right, I hear you, but I would say the way the game is played now, I would spend more of my money on the offensive side of the ball than the defense.
That's fair.
Side of the ball.
That's
that,
more than
is that,
fair.
Is that
more
a little bit better?
Fair.
All right, so
fair.
I've couched it a little bit. Let's move to the NBA because I know you're getting ready to go to the Warriors tonight. Warriors, Minnesota Timberwolves. Preseason games get going tonight. Connor Letourneau covers the Warriors for the San Francisco Chronicle. He joins us here on 95.7 The Game. Connor, thanks very much. Are you already at your seat at Roracle? Are you geared up and excited? How big preseason Warrior action? It doesn't get any bigger than this, does it?
Yeah, no, I'm not quite there yet. But I'm really excited that it's back. You know, it felt like a really, I know it was an abbreviated offseason, but it felt long. You know, by the end of it, I was ready to get back in training camp. And the thing is, with the first preseason game, obviously there's no stakes. You know, the game doesn't matter, but there's some interesting things to watch. You know, I'm curious to see how Damian Jones performs as a starting center with Cousins out. I'm curious to see how Jacob Evans does with Patrick McCaw still not on the team. He's probably going to get a decent amount of playing time tonight. I'm curious to see if his shot is a little bit better than it was in summer league. So there's a couple things that are definitely worth monitoring.
My guy JD was looking at those same two things right there. I think there are a few things worth monitoring. Let me ask you this. It's just a 30,000-foot view question. How hard is it to cover the Warriors in that we kind of know what's going to happen for 82 games, don't we? I mean, is it harder for you to come up with storylines and follow-ups? And, I mean, you know they're going to win 65 games this year, don't you?
Yeah, no, I mean, the reality is it's interesting covering a team when the regular season doesn't really matter. I think it'll be a little bit more interesting this season because of the whole Cousins dynamic, when he returns, getting him assimilated and all that. Last season, it really felt like a six-month prelude to the games that actually matter, which in some ways is actually kind of fun as the beat writer, because when the games don't matter as much, it frees me up to write other stuff, you know, stuff off the court, really get into dig deep into the personalities of these guys, what makes the people in the organization tick. I have no problem keeping myself busy. And sometimes it's kind of fun if you don't have to write about the X's and O's all the time.
Connor, I want you to help me out here because I was out at Media Day, as everybody was, and you were. And I, one of my takeaways from Media Day on Monday was it almost felt like Steve Kerr and even to a lesser extent Bob Myers, they were setting up a vibe of, hey, this could be the end of the run. This could be the last season that this group of core players are together. But the more I've listened to conversations and chatter throughout the week and reading what everybody's writing, it seems like maybe it was more about just having a more joyous feel to how the Warriors go through this season compared to last year, where they basically admitted from day one that it was going to be hard and a slog. What's your take on just during this first week, that sort of tone of, do you think they're setting it up for this could be the end of the run, or is it just more taking a different approach to getting motivated for the year?
Yeah, you know, it was interesting because on Media Day, I left Media Day thinking the narrative of the day was, you know, enjoy the moment. Let's appreciate this entire run, this entire journey through the regular season, through the playoffs. And then, you know, I do my due diligence. I read everyone else as well, and I read what everyone else is writing. And it seemed like other people's takeaway was, you know, was Steve Kerr alluding to this being the end of the dynasty? Could this be the last year? And I think people thought that because of that one quote he had on Media Day where he mentioned that things are going to potentially change at the end of the season because of the roster situation, because of the contracts and what have you. But I think I personally feel like people read a little bit too much into that. I think if Steve could go back and reword that statement, he would. He went back the next day and said, I'm done talking about, you know, the contract situations. I want to appreciate the moment. I think Bob Myers and Steve had a conversation before Media Day and basically said, this is going to be our messaging this year. Obviously last season, they kept reiterating how much of a challenge it was going to be. And that almost backfired on them because, you know, they ended up playing very lethargically. They really struggled getting up for those regular season games, those early season games. And so they're obviously trying something new this season, and they're trying to bring the joy back because the foundation, one of the fundamental things about this team that's made them so successful is that they play with a certain amount of joy that other teams lack. And I think they got away from that last season. So they're trying to bring that back.
Connor Letourneau covers the Warriors for the San Francisco Chronicle, joins us on 95.7 The Game. Connor, are you part of the famous Letourneau watch family? You got some of that watch money? Some of that rich watch money?
No, I wish.
Okay.
I wish.
Just checking, because that's a famous name brand. That's a famous watch-selling family, and I thought maybe you came in with some heavy old money. That'd be huge if you did.
No, I wish.
No?
Just see my apartment. I do not have old money, unfortunately.
All righty. Well, you never know. Maybe you're the start. Maybe you're just the start of something new for the Letourneaus. That's all I know. All right. A couple of weeks ago, Connor, I was getting filleted here on this station because I said, you know, I would be of the belief that Kevin Durant is such a bon vivant. He's someone who is chasing something or has so much, I don't know, of a want to achieve that I could see this very well being the last year he wears a Warrior uniform. And people were accusing me of the worst type of trolling you could possibly imagine, and it was horrible, and you're just trying to get phone calls. And I said, no. I look at the guy's history, and he went to three high schools in Maryland. He didn't play his college ball near his home. He went halfway across the country to Texas, only lasted there a year, went to Seattle, was ripped out of there, played in Oklahoma City, left there when he surprised everyone. They believed he would spend the rest of his career, or at least one more year, in Oklahoma City. But he's a guy who's got some kind of a nervous energy, positive that is, that maybe he needs a new challenge. How likely is it one of the storylines this year is strictly number 35, Kevin Durant? What is his next move going to be, and how that has to have the Warriors concerned about preparing for the future?
I mean, that's definitely going to be a storyline for sure. It already is. I mean, you've seen the rumblings about the Lakers and what have you. They've already been asked that, you know, Steve, Bob, KD, they've already been asked that at Media Day. So it's definitely going to be a storyline throughout the season. And I don't blame you for having that opinion. You know, you look at his track record, he's a guy who gets bored kind of easily. And he likes change. It keeps him motivated. And so I understand why you might have that assumption. But as someone who's around him on a regular basis, he is in a really good place mentally right now. I think he's really happy with the situation he's in. I think he's found something in Golden State that he's been searching for his entire career. You know, he's 30 today, and he was asked a couple of days ago about, you know, where he's at, you know, entering his 30th birthday, and he said that he has a fulfillment that he hadn't had, and it's just being around these guys, being around some of the best players in the world who are selfless and team oriented, and I believe him when he says that. It appears genuine, and I personally don't think he's going to go anywhere next season, but I totally understand why it's a storyline.
All right, Connor, we're going to run. Thanks very much for coming on. We know you got a long day. You got to get out to the arena. You got to get yourself ready. You do have some cool storylines, and we'll follow them tomorrow morning when we read our San Francisco Chronicle. But thanks for coming on, and I'm sure we'll do this an awful lot this season, pal. All right?
All right. Appreciate it, guys. I'm looking forward to it.
There you go. Connor Letourneau covers the Warriors. JD, you're going to be out there tonight.
I'll be out there.
We're going to get into the KD stuff in just a second. Can we do that?
Yeah.
Because I think it's more serious. Connor said, I think he's staying. I'm not so sure. 1042, John Dickinson, Jim Cozumel. Your calls, 888-957-9570. Hit us on the text line, 95795. After you go through Media Day, after you see the national media go over the topic, is Kevin Durant and his future one of the biggest things you'll watch during the 2018-19 season and the discussion it's starting to take on? That's all coming up with you on your home of the Warriors. Is that what we are?
Yeah.
The home of the Warriors. And the assimilation sensation that is the great Boogie Cousins, 95.7 The Game.
Curry tipped the rebound to himself, throw ahead to Durant. One-on-one by Hardaway to the rack and a two-hand slam. Just like that, it's a one-possession game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Big ups to the boys behind the glass, JD, making it happen. Earlier today, producer Nash spilled my coffee all over the monitors here. But he came back with his help from James working the wheels of steel today.
It's good stuff. They're battling.
He's got to get a little better on that music. Hold me over there, James. That music you were playing right there, that was like pillow talk. That was a little slow jam. Come over there, hold me and make me feel better. I think we're going to have a romantic evening with that. Okay, there we go. We got it rolling now, JD. John Dickinson, Jim Cozumel with you, Warriors tonight. You're going to get them tonight on, is it Q102? That's where you get them? Q102? Thanks, Q102. Because we have A's baseball tonight. A's and Angels going at it. Two more games to go. I don't know why they play a night game tonight when they've got a 12 noon start tomorrow, that final day of the year where every team in baseball plays a game that starts at the same time.
Sure.
The Eastern teams will play at 3. The Midwest will play at 2. Colorado's at home. They'll play at 1. 12 noon on the West Coast. So nobody knows what's going on. Do you know, JD, here's a little trivia. Do you know where they stole that idea from? Where everyone on the final day of the year plays at the exact same time. So
I'm going to guess, because I know you, that it's soccer.
You're right. You're on it, Premier League. Final game of the year, everyone plays at exactly, I think it's 12 noon in the afternoon, at exactly the same time, because teams are playing for position. They don't have a playoff there.
Right.
It's, you know, you play your 38 games, and at the end of 38 games,
add them up.
You win or you lose. Top four get this, and next four into the next round. So that's very neat of you. Look at you. You're a man of the world.
Yeah, don't sleep on that.
I'm going to get into my Sports Guilty Pleasure. My Sports Guilty Pleasure played last night, their grand final last night. I'm going to get into that a little bit later on. 9 minutes before the hour of 11 o'clock. Let's stay on the Warriors on this. So we just heard the Durant thing there, and we were talking to Connor Letourneau. He thinks Durant stays. How serious do you think the storyline is? Is this going to be an ESPN perpetuated story for 82 regular season games because they need something, because Stephen Screamin' A. Smith needs to have something as a crutch, or is there a legitimacy to the Kevin Durant could be itchy to go somewhere else?
Can the answer be both, or is that just too wishy-washy and I need to get up on the table and start screaming?
You do. You got to get on the table. It's sports talk radio. Take a stance, and you've got to MF somebody.
I think it's going to be a storyline all year long, and it's going to be overanalyzed, and every movement, who does he hug, who does he not hug at a game, who does he you know, fist bump before a game. I mean, it's every big time opponent, you know, every game against the Lakers, the Warriors play, it's going to be, wow, boy, he loves playing at Staples Center. Boy, I mean, the quote from Media Day with him, I mean, talk about, you know, playing your bedroom music. I mean, the quote about him playing at Staples Center and how cool it is with all the stars there courtside. I mean, that made me think twice.
Didn't it? So now all of a sudden
speaking of L.A., like L.A. was the one that got away.
At one time, my what some would call troll-like take took on a little bit more significance. And then you see the Raptors trainer who works out in L.A. He sent out that shot.
Yeah. See, this is all the stuff.
The NBA loves.
This is all the nonsense that's going to be constant throughout the course of the year.
I love it.
So I think there's that aspect of it.
Okay.
But then I also think there is a real aspect to it of he doesn't know and the things that happen this season, not the crap, but the actual way this season plays out and his interactions with his teammates and the way this year goes, that's going to determine whether or not he stays or not. Like, I don't think he knows today.
All right, let's get some phone calls on this one. Larry's in Richmond. And he's going to get us started, 888-957-9570. You can hit us on the text line, 95795. Lawrence, my friend, is this crazy talk or is it legit?
It's crazy talk, you guys. Let's go with KD being here. Let's go about the season last. KD will be here until he fills up his one hand with rings. And that's what he promised to his mama. And if it goes further than that, that's fine, too. The second thing is, they are going to depend on these kids. Cook, Bell, Jones, I'm forgetting one more. But they're going to depend on these kids for the season to keep these guys that are the veterans fresh and going into the second half of the season. Boogie Cousins, that's the one I was trying to think of.
Oh, okay.
Cousins won't be ready until February.
Mm-hmm.
And then they will interject him slowly. The young guys will have to come through to keep these older guys fresh. Until somebody rolls up a Loomis truck, back it up to the Federal Reserve and tell Durant you can fill it up to the brim, whatever dominations you want, then we'll think about you going somewhere else. But until then, he will be a warrior until they find out they can't get any more rings on one hand going on to the second hand.
All right.
Have a good day, you guys.
I like it. Thanks, Larry. And thanks very much for listening to 95.7 The Game. We appreciate it. How about this from the 510? If Durant decides to leave, the Warriors should pursue Kawhi Leonard, best two-way player in the NBA. And I only bring that up not to get out over our skis at like where our fans are thinking already this could be a possibility. How do you fix that? See, I'm not telling you, I didn't troll anybody. I know the NBA landscape. It's going to be my 24th year in the league. I look at the guy. I'll tell you something. One of the most impressive people I've ever met in doing a one-on-one interview was Kevin Durant. When he was signed by the Warriors and he had that first media day. And then we were over at NBC Sports. We were still doing Sports Talk Live and I had a one-on-one sit down with the guy. It was the most introspective, thoughtful set of answers that I've received from a guy in a very long time, in that you'd ask him a question and he would really think it through, because remember how emotional that time was for him, JD. That was a very emotional move because he did give his heart and soul to Oklahoma City. And when he left, that town burnt his jersey in front of his house at his restaurant.
Brutal, brutal stuff.
It was ugly. And he thought he had given all he could there.
Sure.
And that he thought, well, maybe I should just be on with my way. I do think he's turned into a different human being since he's been here. I'm not saying better or worse, just different.
Yeah.
And I think he is searching for more. And whatever that definition of more is, will be interesting.
And that's why I don't think he knows what he's going to do. I think he's all
in. I agree.
I think he's all in on enjoying this year and trying to win another championship and enjoying the time that he has with this group that he's loved playing with, that has brought joy to him, that has changed him as somebody that turns 30 years old today. And he's spoken about that throughout the course of this week. But I also think circumstances change constantly. And the way this year plays out for him, and I don't think it's going to be all the crap, like I was saying earlier. I don't think it's going to be all the things that we make a big deal about.
Right.
It's going to be the things that we don't see that are ultimately going to determine it. It's going to be him looking up at the end of the day if the Warriors, let's say, win the championship again and they three-peat, and he looks up and he says, you know what? God, this was awesome. I want a different challenge. That's plausible.
I agree. I totally agree with that. It is plausible. Will you watch to see how much the Warriors, and I don't want to say coddle to, but take the time to point out the excellence of Durant to make sure he gets the message he's loved? Well, listen, didn't Bonte make the biggest news of the week in the NBA when he had Durant on with the on Papa's show? And he said, I had you for the defensive player of the year. And Durant, the biggest thing talked about in the NBA this week was, you know, all the hate towards me. Durant saying all the hate towards me. Do we have that? You know, let's see if we have that. You guys have that from Papa's show this week with Bonte? And they were talking to Durant about his defense. Bonte Hill made the biggest news of the week in the NBA when he asked Durant about defense. See if you can find that quote, because I want to hear Durant in his own words talking about all the hate. JD, come on. The hate. People hate him. The Warriors will watch their words about how they address Kevin Durant.
I think they've already done it. I think Joe Lacob has already done it. When Joe Lacob said that,
He's been a great partner.
That's
a direct quote. He's been a great partner.
And that he's got to, you know, make the best decision for him. And you just have to, you can only do so much. And eventually he's got to decide. We hope he stays, but.
Don't you think they know? Don't you think if you're the owner at that point, you say, we want him. He's ours. We want him. We win with him. We want to keep winning with him. Or do you think they're starting to leave the door open a little, say? They kind of know.
When you're the Golden State Warriors, you have to not publicly speak about everything, but privately you have to have every conversation about every scenario. Going
Absolutely.
Into this year, if you're having a meeting with all the bigwigs, if it's Bob Myers and it's Joe Lacob and it's Steve Kerr and it's everybody else in that front office, and you're having a big powwow, and you're thinking, you have to think a year out. And a year out could be, hey, this whole thing could be different.
Let me ask you a question, and I'm going to let you think about your answer, because I'm going to hear from Durant. I think the best two-way players on the Warriors are Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson. The best two-way players are those two guys, I think. Here's my question, and you think about it. When we are sitting here for the 2019-20 season in the brand-new Chase Center, which would be the gorgeous arena here down by the water, will Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson be wearing Warriors jerseys? First, here's Bonte Hill making international news on 95.7 The Game, hijacking the Greg Papa show in his interview with Kevin Durant. Listen.
I mean, it's just pure hate for me, obviously. And no appreciation for my real skill for the game. But I get it. I understand where we're coming from. I understand what we have here in this building that scares everybody. But for me, I was just proud of the growth that I had in that area, whereas I just wanted to be able to be relied on to guard anybody.
We should have used a longer version when the question came from Bonte, when he got in there and said, you know, I had you as the defensive player of the year, but the hate was about him not getting the defensive player of the year. That's the hate on me. You can hear it in his voice.
You know,
the guy is searching for some more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.